Welcome back to the BSD YouTube show. And yes, you can't tell by the giddy look on my face. We're doing this after a very satisfying blowout win on senior night against Nebraska, and one in which Catron Allen set the career rushing record. And I'm just going to toot my own horn here. I predicted this earlier this week that he would get the record tonight and not have to get it done against Rutgers next week. So maybe I'll go take a victory lap after the show's over. But Pat is actually at the game right now, so you're stuck with myself, Tim, and Jared breaking this one down. Jared, I just got one question for you. Hire Terry Smith.
Well, I don't know if you saw the post-game interview, but Anthony Donka was holding up the hire Terry Smith side and screaming the camera very passionately, hire Terry Smith immediately. And I don't like to disagree with people the size of Anthony Donka. So, you know what, after feeling all the good feelings and good, great vibes coming out of Happy Valley, right now, that's kind of what I'm feeling, honestly. I'm not thinking it's going to happen, and we'll see how we feel in the morning, you know, once you kind of sleep on a little bit. But, I mean, you can't argue with the results of the last 3 weeks where he's really gotten this team playing to their potential finally.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just, of course, Donko, and I think it's like Davian Collins, the other guy holding the sign. But, man, it's so – almost everyone on the NBC broadcast, minus Chris Sims and Nicole R back in the studio, were like doing almost like a PR campaign, like a political campaign to get Terry Smith a full-time job. I mean, Michael Robinson at halftime was doing a very impassioned plea, you know, talking about how he talked to hundreds of current players and former lettermen, and, you know, they all want Terry to get the job. And, you know, and so really,
I was gonna say, on top of those people, the entire Beaver Stadium crowd was chanting Terry.
Oh, yeah, you heard it.
Several Terry chants throughout the game.
Terry, yeah, I mean, heck, my brother and I were kind of chanting it at home watching the game, so it, you know, I get it. I mean, it's infectious. You know, like I said, we'll see if that act is the case. I'll just say, if you know, all joking aside, if Penn State doesn't land Kalen DeBoer, or if there's any other secret whale that they're trying to reel in, you know what? Compared to the other names I've seen on bandied about, after what I've seen tonight and the last couple weeks, I'm fine giving Terry a shot.
It's hard to give him a nice
like 5-year contract.
Yeah.
And you know, people are like, oh, what's he going to do, you know, with recruit? Well, you know what? In this day and age, especially, you got to have that NIL money. And it sounds like Kraft is got a plan for that. And I'll tell you what, all those old boosters who maybe were closing up their wallets under Franklin, they're going to be opening up those wallets for Terry Smith, former player, guy who played under Joe Paterno. I mean, you know, it would happen. I wouldn't be too concerned about the recruiting aspect. I think they're going to have a lot of this to throw around to recruits. So, yeah, and they just saw, like I said, you saw just how inspired these guys are playing. And just, I don't know, it felt like there's some real, like, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys who are actually productive are getting more playing time than guys who don't, regardless of 100%. Seniority. What a refreshing idea, you know? Mm-hmm.
We've seen so many people take on larger roles since Terry Smith took over. You know, guys like Kobe Howard, Alex Tash. I mean, guys who didn't really sniff the field, you'd hear about them, you know, doing great things in practice. You'd see, you know, I don't know how many highlights I saw on social media of Kobe Howard over the summer. And you kept hearing every week, well, you know, he's not quite ready. Maybe he'll be ready to go, you know, pretty soon here. And then as soon as, you know, Terry takes over, it's not like Kobe Howard's been a star player or anything, but, you know, he's been a regular contributor in the offense and making big plays just about every week. So, you know, like you said, it's just nice to see that there's some accountability. Guys are playing well, making an impression or getting their opportunities. And just you're seeing a lot of different things since Terry took over. Another Absolutely. Thing, too, I just want to say, like, you mentioned how inspired everyone has been playing, and that's not only is that impressive just on its own, but considering the course of the season and what the expectations were, just the fact that this team didn't pack it in, and, you know, I mean, that easily could have happened, and this game could have been very one-sided the other direction at this point in the year, considering how the season's gone, and just not only are they not, you know, they haven't quit, obviously, but they are actually playing to their potential finally. And it's just been really refreshing to see. And you just have to give the world of credit to Smith for holding everything together and getting him to play at such a high level, considering everything that's been lost this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just testament to what Terry's done. And, you know, and he had, when Franklin got fired, I mean, he only had a few days before they had to hit the road to Iowa City to take on Iowa. And, you know, they went out there and, you know, and also with a brand new starting quarterback, because, you know, Drew Auer got hurt in Boston Northwestern. So, even Grunkmeyer had to make his first career start in a hostile environment at night against a very tough defense. And, you know, he had the mistakes you would expect to see from a first-time starter in such a situation. But even then, I was kind of impressed with how the moment didn't seem too big for him. And I thought, okay, maybe he can keep improving as the season goes on. And sure enough, I mean, especially once he got through that Iowa, Ohio State, and Indiana gauntlet, you know, he really has started to blossom against more lesser or evenly matched foes. So, you know, it's been great to see Grunk's development as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He had one incompletion all night tonight, and that incompletion actually easily could have been wiped off the board, because they should have been called there should have been a pass interference or defensive holding on that play. He had Hudson open over the middle, not open, but he had him over the middle for look like could have been a touchdown pass. And if you notice, the defender grabbed his inside hip and pulled it, yanked him back while he was trying to complete his route. So that easily.
Oh, that absolutely should have been a flat. Yeah.
That's your only incomplete pass the entire night. So, I mean, just a world of credit to him. And that was against the nation's number three passing defense, too. It's not like this was, you know, Akron, or he's throwing to wide open receivers all night. So, yeah, got to give credit to Grunk for sure. And the thing that's really impressed me is he really seems to see the field very well. You could even make the argument that he sees the field better now than when Aller did early in the year as a senior. You can absolutely, there's no question that Grunkmeyer sees the field better now than what Aller did at this stage in his development, you know. So just a ton of potential. It'll be interesting to see how things work out next year, if Grunkmeyer will, you know, still be in a Penn State uniform and be the QB1, but I certainly hope he is, because, I mean, he's just shown so much progress in these first few weeks, and I just think he's got the world of potential.
Yeah, and you make a point about, you know, now the other thing I'll add, too, I feel like mentally as well, like, you know, if something doesn't go right, you know, if, passes off or something, you know, you don't see him, like, losing it on the sidelines or,
yes,
you know, or just, you know, going off on an official, you know, like
he's composed, he's, for sure.
He's more composed. He's more like calm and just, doesn't, you know, he's able to shake off a bad play.
Exactly.
And let it snowball.
Doesn't try to force things. I mean, time and time, we've noticed that so much the last 2 weeks is, you know, he drops back, doesn't see an open receiver, and rather than throwing out of bounds or making a risky throw, he'll just run the ball. Sometimes he'll get, you know, a dozen yards and pick up a first down. Sometimes he'll get four and set up a second and six, a more manageable opportunity to move the chains, you know. So, I mean, just he's got a really – I mentioned his vision, but he just seems like he's got a really good head in his shoulders and just has those intangibles you're looking for in a quarterback. And, you know, he's got the arm, and he's got a pretty broad skill set and potential to be a really phenomenal quarterback for sure. I mean, he's just a redshirt freshman, so he's got quite a bit of playing time ahead of him.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I hope he he sticks around next year at Penn State, you know, whoever the hire is convinces him to stick around. I mean, obviously, I guess Terry is the hire. I think if I would be shocked if he's not in a Penn State uniform next year. So, but you mentioned how Gronk only threw, you know, he only had one incompletion. He only threw the ball 12 times tonight, mm-hmm. actually. And that's because Penn State fed it to Catron, who got the record. He became the all-time rushing leader, broke Evan Royster's mark. Let me pull up the current number he has all time. So he needed 139 yards tonight. So he got 160 total. So he broke it by 21 yards. And
and it's crazy because a few weeks ago we weren't certain if he was going to get it. In the last two games, he has three. I think my math is correct. It's 331 yards these last 2 weeks. So just a great kind of storybook. I don't say storybook ending because there's still, you know, one more game. Hopefully, two. We'll see.
3,960 yards. That's where he stands up right now. So that's
just a phenomenal end to at least his career playing in Beaver Stadium for him and to get that in front of the home crowd was just really special.
But yeah, there was a moment where it seemed like that may not quite happen because he picked it up, but then they called it back for a face mask on Catron. And then on top of that, he was limping off the field.
Yes.
I'm thinking, oh crap. If Catron comes up with a couple yards short of the record because of a stupid penalty and he's too injured to pick up the other two.
My heart sank because that was my first thought is like, what, even if it's just like a nagging injury that keeps you out the rest of this game and a week from now, and you know, you miss it by a couple weeks because of that. But he was in there a few plays later, and not too long after that, he secured the record and tacked on more to it.
The funny part about him, he did it on a third down run, which didn't get a first down, but it's, you know, people are cheering anyway. It's like the only time you'll ever see the home crowd cheer a team failing to pick up a first down because Catron got enough yards for the record.
So, mm-hmm. And then the very next play was Luke Reynolds' fake punt.
Deja vu from the Minnesota game last year.
Catron stayed on the field and ended up taking in for a 13-yard touchdown a few plays after that. So I was really glad that they did that. It wasn't like it was necessary at that point in the game or anything, but it was just kind of nice to see that it was kind of a weird way to get the record coming up short in a third down. So it was nice to see him ultimately finish that drive in the end zone for sure.
Yeah, it made it a little more satisfying. You know, mm-hmm. So it wasn't quite, you know, like Larry Johnson's run against Michigan State.
Yeah, because I think he was just like a few yards away and he broke a long touchdown.
And he broke up a long touchdown. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of hoping for that moment with Catron, but, you know, this was good enough.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it was a great moment. And, also shout out to Nick Singleton. He tied Saquon Barkley tonight for the all-time touchdown, mm-hmm. rushing touchdowns. I think it's 53 or what they were showing on the podcast. Yep. So I was hoping he would also get the record tonight at home, but looks like that'll have to wait one more week. Hopefully he'll get the Rockers next week.
I think he'll definitely have the opportunity to get it next week. And I did want to say while we're talking about Singleton, that was one of the coolest shots I've ever seen was on this first touchdown when he's going in the end zone, gets hit, and you see the paint literally flying, like splattered up in the air. Like that was a really cool sight. I don't know if I've ever seen any. I mean, I've seen like paint come off or paint get smeared from a helmet, but I don't know if I've ever seen like explode off of a helmet like that. So just just an interesting shot and just an overall interesting and very satisfying evening.
Yeah, just kind of a illustration of just how hard Penn State scrapped tonight. You know, the paint's coming off mm-hmm. of Nick Singleton's helmet. So they didn't care. They were just going to keep running it down your throat. That's what made it really satisfying. I mean, they were just able to assert their will in the trenches, it felt like, especially on offense. And of course, the defense, I mean, they kind of – I would argue they set the tone on the opening drive. I mean, Nebraska – but Emmett Johnson breaks off that huge run. Looks like he's going to take it all the way to the house, but gets stopped short. And then you know, they find themselves in like a fourth and I think it's fourth and one of the two. And you know, you're thinking, okay, they're probably going to punch us in. I mean, but man, Mari Campbell just comes in and stuffs Johnson. And, you know, Penn State from there goes on that 98-yard touchdown drive. I mean, to me, like those two moments, well, that's like where Penn State just shifted momentum and never relinquished after that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that first Nebraska drive, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm hoping this is kind of like last week where they allowed a touchdown early, then locked in after that. But I was also kind of worried, you know, Nebraska's got some playmakers. They've won a lot of games this season. You know, they may just really have something on offense, and this could be a long night. And like you said, Amari Campbell just steps in there, makes that big play along with someone else was in that tackle, which I can't specifically call at this moment. But, you know, they step in, get that huge fourth down shot, stop, get the crowd into it. And, you know, from there, it's a 98-yard drive. And it was all Penn State, really, the rest of the night after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to also elaborate on your point about the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, that was the biggest issue heading for this losing streak, is that they just – were not winning at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. They were a far cry from what we thought they were going to be, what their potential was. And these last few weeks, really starting with, I don't know what happened the week ahead of Indiana, but really those last three games, they've just been a totally different team at the line of scrimmage on both offense and defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a part of how, you know, why they're on this two-game win streak and how well, frankly, it should be a three-game win streak if you ask me. Just, you know, weren't for a couple of insane catches.
So close.
Yeah, or Mari slipping. But, yeah, but you know, that's water under the bridge at this point. This was like the most, by far the most fun I had watching this Penn State football team this year. I mean, it's how I expected the whole season to be, frankly. I guess better late than never, but
yes.
It does also kind of leave you at, like, do you find yourself wondering, like, man, what could have been? Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, this is the first time all season I kept thinking, like, man, I can't wait to, like, sit down and, like, rewatch this game, you know, without any of, like, the live, you know, jitters or just uncertainty, just to kind of sit back and kick back and just enjoy, you know, reliving everything. So I'm sure I'll be doing that sometime during this Thanksgiving break and kind of absorbing this victory. But yeah, and honestly, like it kind of felt like what we were expecting. And it was almost like if this team, you know, things in a different reality where this team is 9-1, 10-0 heading into this game, and they just went out there and beat the pants off of a 7-3 team. You know, I mean, this is just kind of what we thought the season was going to be.
For sure. You know, so I guess before we continue on, I just want to remind everyone, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel here. We're Black Shoe Diaries. We're a Penn State blog. We cover football, basketball, hockey. We cover all Penn State sports year round. You know, football season's winding down, but, you know, we're starting to get into hockey, hoops, and wrestling. You know, wrestling, of course, going for another national championship like they always do. So go tune to that, blackshoedaries.com, so you can find Jared and myself's works as well as Pat's and our other colleagues. And if you haven't already, find our YouTube channel, Black Shoe Diaries PSU. It's down there in the fine print. We were at 414 subscribers tonight before we started this. So thank you to everyone who in the last few days has subscribe to us. You know, there's a lot of, I know we like to joke we're the only Penn State YouTube show out there, but you know, if you do it, you just look for a YouTube algorithm, you're going to find plenty of other Penn State podcasts, YouTube shows. So, you know, the fact that you're choosing to subscribe to us and watch us right now, we really appreciate that, especially the 10 of you who are currently watching us at this moment. So I guess, Jared, you know, when we – I know there's still one game left in the season, but so I guess what are your feelings now at this point, just in the whole totality, like just how it started, you know, with us expecting to, you know, remember ranked number two, you know, it's all this national championship hype. You got all these key guys returning like Drew and Nick and Patron, tonight Dennis Sutton, all these guys. And to now where, you know, we're chanting an interim coach's name for him to get the permanent job. Like, I don't know about you, but I want to go back. Like, there's a time machine. I would hop back to like a few months ago and tell myself this is what's going to happen and just see my reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this season just could not have gone any differently than what we were expecting. I mean, I'm sure I mentioned this before, but I remember thinking at one point earlier in the year that the worst case scenario was 10-2 and the nightmare scenario was 9-3. So never thought they'd get to this point. So it's just been a really weird and wild ride. Just from going from, you know, Penn State losing that Oregon game and then continue to have those baffling losses against UCLA and Northwestern, and just kind of going in with all these expectations, all of a sudden you realize like all these hopes have been dashed, and then Franklin's out the door, and you know, it's just, I don't know even know how to describe it. It's just outside of like a complete emotional roller coaster. So it has been nice to, you know, the season obviously isn't anywhere near what we had hoped. And best case scenario, they beat Rutgers and go 6-6. And I don't know, hopefully fielding enough of a team to go win a Pinstripe Bowl. Maybe we'll see, but considering where we've been and all the heartache we've gone through as fans and just, you know, everything the team's gone through, it's nice to actually see them go out there, play to their potential, win a huge game in front of the home crowd. And, you know, I loved watching the end of that game and just the smiles and the players' faces and watch them celebrate. So I'm just really happy for them that they're getting these types of moments still. I know they won't look back at this season as what they wanted and came nowhere near reaching their ultimate goal of what they wanted this year. But it is nice to see them be able to kind of at least have these moments. It's not a lost season, and they're still out there fighting and enjoying themselves and playing for each other and for the coaching staff. I mean, at this point, that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah. I mean, like you said earlier, it's, you know, this team could have easily just packed it in after, especially after Franklin got fired and Drew got knocked out for the season. But, you know, credit to Terry Smith and, you know, rallying the troops, you know, getting them to not quit and, you know, and live up to their potential that we expect them to live up to from game one. So just really, you know, at the end of the year, one of those like it's one of these bittersweet moments. You know, it was such a satisfying beatdown, really fun to watch. And especially the whole thing with, like, you know, Matt Rhule coming back. And, you know, he was initially, when Franklin got fired, he was a name that, you know, the national media kept banding about, as, oh, he's a front runner, you know. And then you kind of watched like Nebraska fall flat in their face to Minnesota, like right after that. And then, I don't know, it was, you know, and I'm not trying to make this like a Matt Rhule hater session or anything like that. But it was kind of sad, you know, to just kind of put to bed any possibility of like Matt Rhule being the guy at Penn State, like once and for all. He's fine for Nebraska, but it's pretty clear. Like I've been saying, I've tooted this horn constantly. He is Diet James Franklin. You know, I'm glad he's not a serious candidate at this point for the job.
Yeah. 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 I'll just say that this team, you know, they played, they looked and they played like a team that, you know, is, you know, getting ready for a playoff run and trying to go for a national championship, you know, with those hopes. So credit to them for being able to play like that, despite what everything that happened tonight, or not tonight, but over the course of the season rather.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I mean, I feel like, unless there's something you think we missed, that I haven't been.
I just want to mention Zane Durant had probably his best game of the season. I mean, we're talking about how, you know, the team played to their potential and, you know, look like a team that you know, is getting ready for a playoff run. And I don't know if we saw a whole lot of Zane Duran, at least what we were expecting. I know he was the first team All-American by, I want to say AP or Sporting News or someone heading the year. And he just hasn't really looked, you know, didn't really have that type of season. But tonight, you know, he was all over the place. And, you know, just want to give a shout out to Zane because it's been a rough season for him. And really glad to see him have this type of performance in his last game at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, I feel like most of these outgoing seniors, they all kind of showed up tonight. Zane, Denai, Dennis Sutton, you know,
Wheatley nearly had an interception. It was nearly called a pick, and you know, it was on the ground, but it would have been nice to see him get that play. But you know, he's been him and Catron, I think we've mentioned many times throughout the year, even in the midst of the losing streak, those were the two guys that were each just really going out there and playing their hearts out week in and week out.
Absolutely. Just, you know, again, just a very satisfying win and, you know, just the most fun I think we've all had this season by far watching Penn State football. And it's probably the only game, like, you know, there's games I still occasionally, especially like during the offseason, I'll just like randomly look up on YouTube sometimes and just watch those. This will be one of those games from the 2025 season that I'll look back a few years from now and still just randomly watch because it was just that.
It was a fun game, filled with a lot of great highlights and just kind of like we've mentioned several times already this evening, just what we were thinking this season was going to be like all year long.
Yeah, and I know it, you know, probably doesn't mean too much for 2026, but it just kind of at least gives you good feeling, gives you the veneer of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not all is lost. Because, I mean, a few weeks ago, I thought a 3-9 season on the table.
I believe you said, if I remember correctly, you said this team is either going to go 3-0 after Indiana or 0-3 with no in between. And well, they're 2-0 over since Indiana. So, and well, I mean, I'm not thinking I'm spoiling it for anybody, but I think we're all going to be picking us to beat Rutgers next week. So I think I'd be shocked if it isn't 3-0 by this time next week when we're doing this post game. And speaking of which, I know with the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm not sure what day yet we'll be doing our preview, but it could potentially be a Tuesday night show depending on our schedules. But you know, you'll if you're subscribed to us, you'll get an alert either way. So appreciate you all tuning in tonight. And for those of you newer subscribers, thank you. And once again, if you haven't, Blackshirt Diaries PSU, it's our YouTube channel, blackshirtdiaries.com. You can find our writings there daily. Jared, any final thoughts before we sign off?
I think we pretty much summed it up, but you know, just it was really nice to see the seniors and just this team get a performance like this, where not only did they get a win, but they went out there pretty much from beginning to end and just beat the pants off of a good team. And you know, it's just got to be a really amazing feeling in the locker room for everyone who, you know, didn't quit, continue to put the work in, continue to play for each other and the staff and the fans, and just hats off for that type of effort, because, you know, it could have been totally different. And, you know, we could have seen a team that packed it in long ago and nobody would have really been able to fault them too much. So just feel a lot of happiness and pride for this team and the staff, just to be able to hold it together like this and be able to have a night like this. And, you know, at least for one Saturday, things seem, you know, fairly perfect in Happy Valley. So at least we'll get this.
Yes. And I know we're both curious to hear Pat's thoughts whenever, you know, he's back on. And, you know, so I'm sure it was even more awesome to witness in person. So I'm really curious to hear what he thinks. But that's going to be it for us. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we will see you for our Rutgers preview.
Good night, everyone.